What's up, little psychos? I'm Investigator Slater, host of the Psychopedia podcast. Psychopedia is a true crime podcast delivering raw, real, and absolutely gripping episodes every single week. I dig deep to uncover fascinating details of heinous true crime cases while exploring criminology and psychology theories. I take you into the absolute darkest corners of the human psyche, my favorite territory, and present cases like you've never heard them before. Follow and listen to Psychopedia everywhere you get your podcasts.
A Super Bowl champion.
The Green Bay Packers have won the Super Bowl.
The Packers' all-time leading scorer.
A game winner for Mason Crosby.
It's time for the Mason Crosby Show with Mitch Nellis, presented by Verizon, the official 5G network of the Green Bay Packers, on the Wisconsin Sports Radio Network, powered by the Potawatomi Sportsbook, and on the free Odyssey app.
It's the Mason Crosby Show. I'm Mitch Nellis. He's Tommy Wirtz. We are in the midst of NFL free agency frenzy as they call it the tampering period. I call it the negotiating or the coming to agreement period is open. Deals cannot be signed until Wednesday.
They've never talked before today.
Right.
They've never talked.
Yeah.
All in the last hour
happened to get in touch. Travis Etienne goes to the Saints. He's from Louisiana, so he's going back home. Good for him. Jaguars, we'll see how they feel about that. The big signing of the day, or one of the big signings, Tyler Linderbaum, goes from the Ravens to the Raiders. Enjoy. I guess you don't want to win, but you just want to get paid, and that's okay. That's okay too. Like, you got plenty of time to win the rest of your career. Pierce, the wide receiver, huge deal to stay with the Colts. Nothing. You know, Malik Willis goes to the Dolphins. But besides that, there are no huge quarterback. Like, you know, we're not seeing any of these $50 million a year deals. I think most of those get signed during the offseason, as players re-sign with their teams as opposed to getting to free agency. Joining us now on the guest hotline, powered by Gruber Law, one call, that's all, friend of show, Tyler Brook. He is the founder of Best Available on YouTube. You can find him at Tyler D. Brook, Brook with an E, or at Best Available YT. He's also a writer for the Acme Packing Company. Tyler, we welcome you back into the show. How you doing, sir?
Yeah, I appreciate you guys having me on. If you're watching this on video, I even got my Mason Crosby jersey in the background.
Nice. Love that.
Mason Crosby show.
He's out all week. You don't have to kiss his butt. It's cool. Yeah, I know.
His kids are on first spring break.
They have
spring break, and then they have Easter break or something. Like,
that sounds lovely.
Yeah, for him.
You worked in high school sports, right? Do kids just not go to school anymore, Tyler?
The 3 years I coached, they always had like the weird days where, like, they roll into practice with, like, McDonald's, and I'm like, how did you have time to go to McDonald's? Like, yeah, we have, like, teacher day where, like, it's a half day, and then they come in. I'm like, what is this?
All right, hold on, Tyler. Before we get to – I got to just piss off Tommy real quickly here. Mm-hmm. You ready?
Yeah.
I actually had a Tommy rant over the weekend. So tomorrow, the juniors are taking the ACT.
Mm-hmm.
And so for the freshmen, sophomores, and seniors, they're having an asynchronous day at home. They have to check in on each of their classes. They will have work to do, but they don't have to go to school because they don't want the pressure on the juniors taking their ACT. Ooh. Like, what?
No,
Just set up the gym with all the desks and everybody avoid the gym for the day.
No,
what are we doing?
I'm actually on the side of no school on the ACT day because that's what happened.
Soft.
I'm cool with no school on the ACT day
because
that was built in when I was in school. Anything that was built in when I was in school, I'm cool with.
Oh yeah. That is soft.
I'm just saying
that is SAWFT soft. Mm. And then Wednesday, No, so that's tomorrow. And then Friday, they all get the day off because they're getting on a bus,
you know,
and going up to Green Bay because the girls made state, baby. What's up, Whitefish
Bay?
Do
you know what is softer than no school on ACT day? Rashawn Gary, when he rushes the passer.
Look at me, Mr. Segway. I leave for spring training for a whole week, and I come back, and I'm Mr. Segway again. All right.
Well, then hijack the segue away from me, then.
No, you nailed it.
All right. Anyway.
So, Tyler, obviously we get the news before all the free agency frenzy that, once again, Jerry Jones going to Jerry and just donate to the Green Bay Packers. He did it again.
The emotional roller coaster of this morning of, like, you know, you wake up, you're like, oh, wow, a third round pick for Rashawn Gary. That's crazy. And then it's like fixed. It's like, sorry, it's a day three pick. And I'm like, oh, it's a little more reasonable. But still, he got something out of Rashawn Gary. Huge win. And then, like, another 20 minutes happened, and it's a fourth round pick. I just think if you ever need to get rid of a player, you better call Jerry Jones first, because it just seems like he's always in a giving mood. I posted a picture of just Gutekunst smiling when he's on the phone. From now on, I'm just always going to assume when Jerry calls, that's the exact face he's making.
Absolutely. No doubt about that. A player the Packers would have been willing to cut, they get a fourth rounder for, so that is fantastic. But plenty of pet, you know, we're not sure if we expect any Packers news today or in the next few minutes, whatever it might be, but plenty of Packers news over the weekend. So let's go to the Zaire Franklin, Colby Wooden trade. You know, you're well versed in the Indianapolis Colts as well as the Green Bay Packers. Franklin with a, I don't know, did he have a great year 2 years ago, or did he just happen, or did he have a Blake Martinez year where he happened to lead the league in tackles? And then last year, he did not have that type of year, but the Packers make the trade with the anticipation that Quay Walker's not going to be on the team.
I would say it was closer to Blake Martinez, but I think it was still better than that, if that makes sense. The reason the trade happens in my eyes is just neither of those players are scheme fits for their previous teams. It's like, hey, let's just make a player-for-player swap because it's a better fit for both sides. You really don't see those in the NFL that much. But
no, you don't.
I think his body might be going a little bit. However, I went and watched the tape, and I was like, let me just, like, I put it together a video on Best Available on YouTube to just, like, show his best plays. And what I came away with is that even if the body's going a little bit, I watch a lot of linebackers. I've coached linebackers before. His eyes are outstanding. He gets into position very, very quickly. And it makes up for a lot of that limited athleticism, because when he's just triggering immediately, whether it's play action or outside zone or just throwing his face in the inside zone, he's at least getting there quickly, which makes up for a lot of the deficiencies. Now, it's hilarious. The Packers are just addicted to linebackers that struggle in coverage. That's still kind of a limitation for Zaire. But they needed some kind of thumper that is willing to be competitive and physical. And even if Zaire isn't the body type of Quay Walker, he's absolutely going to fill that role just off of sheer determination.
So then compare it. Tyler Brook, Best Available on YouTube, joining us here on the Mason Crosby Show. Compare it then. Did the Packers get better if they let Quay Walker leave and Zaire Franklin is the guy, or have to wait and see on that still based on what you've seen out of him so far?
I mean, you got to think about it beyond just the linebacker position and more of a salary cap allocation situation, right? Like, still under contract for two more years. The good news about it is, you know, if they cut him, it is zero in dead cap. So if they move on from him at any point, it's just kind of wipe your hands clean of it. They were never going to be able to afford Quay Walker's deal, in my opinion. Not only do you have that cap flexibility with Zaire now, but you're also adding a starting caliber player in an offseason where you have really poor options at off-ball linebacker. This linebacker draft class outside of Sonny Styles and Arvell Reese is quite weak, and then the free agent class wasn't much better. If you wanted to replace Quay Walker and you weren't going to get him back, the best you could do is Devin Lloyd, who is, you know, kind of in the same boat as Quay Walker, and then it drops off pretty significantly after that. So it's more of just like, hey, I don't think we're going to find any, like, good market value in free agency to replace Quay. Let's just make this trade for a player that wasn't a good scheme fit, and yeah, maybe his best days might be behind him, but, you know, it's kind of a low-risk move. You're moving on from Colby Wooden, who wasn't a scheme fit, for Jonathan Gannon, and then you can allocate those resources elsewhere because you got some big extensions coming up. And you might be in a really good situation now for 2027 beyond and take another swing on a really exciting player. I don't know who that is yet, but who knows?
I was wondering if you were going to make some predictions. Tyler Brook joining us here on the Mason Crosby Show, presented by Verizon. So we saw this move. We saw the renegotiation with Aaron Banks. We saw the signing of Sean Ryan. We started the show by basically just stating that we've got Jordan Morgan, Aaron Banks, Sean Ryan, Anthony Belton, and Zach Tom. Mm-hmm. We assume that's your starters. How do you feel if that's your starting five heading into the season?
I think I'm more optimistic on it than most. I think all of the cross training at some of these guys really screwed them up a bit. Sean Ryan with a full offseason of playing center, I actually feel pretty good about, because he can absolutely move bodies. And I think having that trait on the interior is good. Plus, I think if you get more comfortable at center, it's going to help. The thing I'm most worried about is Zach Tom with that injury. If he comes back, I think that anchor is good. I thought Jordan Morgan, even playing right tackle, was good. What bothered me is he went viral because he had to have one bad play. But for a guy playing a position he wasn't used to, I thought he did quite admirably. Anthony Belton is more of a natural guard. And then Aaron Banks, again, another unpopular guy. But second half of the season, I thought he started playing a lot better ball. I think it's an offseason to stop focusing on cross-training and start focusing on specialization.
Yes.
And that's where I feel a lot more optimistic about this group. But I also don't know if they're done adding to it. I think there's some really intriguing, versatile offensive linemen that can fill a couple spots in day two, day three of the draft that I'm excited about.
Absolutely. And Tommy, you and I talked about that as well. It's like, if guys know what position they're playing and are prepared to play that position,
yeah.
I just feel like that's mentally a much better spot than you're basically, you're a pro bowler, a guard. Let's move you over to center. And Jordan Morgan, you're going to learn seven different positions. There's only five on the offensive line, and you're teaching him seven different positions. Doesn't make any sense.
Right. And I think that's probably the next move we'll see, is something either Elton Jenkins gets moved or released here, Tyler. But is there any position of need that you think the Green Bay Packers specifically should target in free agency, maybe, as opposed to the draft or vice versa, heading into 26 offseason?
Yeah, the one thing I keep saying is, unless they're going to take a big sign, like a big swing on a corner, because I just don't know. I don't know how much value a depth signing at corner is going to do right now with the roster. But if they took a big swing at a corner, I'd love that. But nose tackle for me, and I would double dip. I would find a journeyman veteran, really wanted Kyrus Tonga, who's now a Chief, which really stinks, just signed.
That would have been a good fit. He played really well for the Patriots this year.
Yeah, but Rui Lopez is another Gannon guy who's a pretty admirably solid nose. I love the idea of getting a journeyman veteran at nose and then drafting another in day three. You just got to improve that. And the thing about nose is you can get a couple of rotational guys and really make that work. And I can see the vision there. But to me, if you can get that addressed, the rest of this defensive roster is in pretty good shape when Micah Parsons is healthy.
Well, and they just, they send Colby Wooden away. Is that something that you see as, that is a loss, at least for Green Bay in this deal for Zaire Franklin? Because, not that he was Devontae Wyatt, but he was a pretty valuable depth piece, it felt like, at a position that was not very strong for Green Bay last season.
Yeah, I think it's just more of, with your moving to this quarter system and how you want to approach the front, it's just, it wasn't going to work. He's kind of a tweener for what they were going to be using. So I think that makes a bit of sense. You still got Wyatt, you still got Carl Brooks, bolster the nose position. And if it's just a player for player trade on a guy that was going to be one of these tweeners and wasn't just going to have the impact you really needed on the trenches, I think it was okay to lose that with Zaire, knowing that you probably have some kind of plan in place to bolster the defensive line going forward.
Tyler Brook joining us here on the Mason Crosby Show on the guest hotline powered by Gruber Law. Follow him at Tyler D. Brook, Brook with an E. Follow him, all the stuff best available on YouTube. Not Packers specific, but what other moves have kind of caught your eye? I know the Bears got the cornerback from the Seahawks. The Lions have signed a guy. They've lost a couple guys. And then just in general around the NFL, what has been interesting to you in this initial frenzy?
Yeah, so I just got off a 2-hour stream reacting on the free agent stuff, so it's all kind of a blur at this point.
Yeah.
But I did like a lot of the moves the Jets made. I like that the Jets, for once, don't feel like they're trying to take desperation swings and give like a bajillion dollars to one guy and hope that fixes everything.
Okay.
I thought Joseph Osai was one of the most underrated free agents in this class. Every time I watched Trey Hendrickson in Cincinnati, I was more impressed with Osai as a pass rusher.
Okay.
They got him on a really reasonable deal. They bring in Kingsley Enagbare on a one-year deal. They trade a seventh for Minka Fitzpatrick. And then the one I thought was really interesting is DeMario Davis. Like, one of the best off-ball linebackers in the last decade, and he's 37 years old, and maybe you paid a lot for a two-year deal for him. However, you got a veteran, in my opinion, borderline Hall of Famer. I'm not saying he is a Hall of Famer, but, like, a tremendous player. To be a veteran for what you're most likely going to bring in as an off-ball linebacker, too, whether it's Arvell Reese or Sonny Styles, having a guy like Davis in the locker room to help teach a guy like that is a really prudent move in my eyes. Like, I don't know if Davis is going to be this impactful player, but these all feel like moves that are not, we are so desperate to be a contender this year. These are patient moves to start building in the right direction. And I just really liked the strategy because it's so much different than what we've seen from the Jets in the past.
I have a question that's kind of interesting and ties into the Packers here. Is Romeo Doubs going to get more money than Malik Willis got in free agency here based on what saw from Alec Pierce and something like that?
That's good.
The wide receiver market is crazy right now. I can't envision, because like Mike Evans might be getting 27 a year. That's crazy to me. I really don't know. I can't see it. I think he's like in the 15 to 18 million range, which is a great payday for Romeo Doubs. That's what I'm guessing is for him. Anything above 20 for Romeo Doubs would kind of shock me, to be honest.
Alec Pierce just got $29
million. Yeah, he stretches the field. He's a gigantic athletic body. Doubs will play a specific role, but as far as a wide receiver one where like you need to force feed a guy, like I just can't envision that. I think he's going to get a nice payday. I can't see the Alec Pierce money.
No, I'm just saying. I couldn't believe when I saw that. And I thought Romeo Doubs, I agree with that range. That's kind of what we've been seeing. But now I wonder if he's going to make more than Malik. What's your reaction to Malik Willis gone and getting his payday in Miami and joining the Packers down there? Oh, wait, sorry, the Dolphins. They just took everyone they just took the entire offseason.
I love it for both sides. I think it's great to see Malik Willis get a bag. Super happy for him. And at the same time for the Jets, it's the Justin Fields deal, but with slightly more guaranteed money, which means this might not work. But if it doesn't, it's not completely franchise devastating, altering, like taking $99 million in dead cap for Tua.
It's amazing.
It's not that bad.
That's amazing.
I'm so curious about what it's going to look like. You've got to run a very tailored offense for Malik Willis' skill set. But if you can do that correctly and get some weapons around him, it's going to be really fun. I'm just happy for the guy, man. Like, getting to watch him fill in, it was one of the most fun backups I've ever watched have to fill in on short notice.
Yeah.
And I think as much as people get frustrated with the coaching staff, it is absolutely a testament to Matt LaFleur and that offensive staff for having, you know how hard it is to put in a completely different playbook, basically, for a different quarterback and have everyone on the same page? That's really freaking hard. And they executed it to perfection, to the point where this is a franchise that traded a seventh for Malik Willis and is likely going to get a third or fourth round comp pick.
Let's go.
Because of it. That is a massive win.
Yep. Quarterback gurus. It'll be interesting to see who they bring in next year to be the backup. And if it's a quarterback that we don't know, or if it's a quarterback that we know who just wants to rehab their image after 1 year in Matt LaFleur's quarterback school. Mm-hmm. One of the questions we were asking, Tyler, on the show, you know, for the past, since Greg Jennings, we've seen so many Packers leave to go to the Vikings, right? Like, that seems to be like a very common route for former Packers to go to the Vikings. Well, part of that is because the Packers and the Vikings were the only two good teams in the division. The Bears stunk and the Lions stunk. Well, now everybody's good. What would hurt the most to see Quay Walker in the uniform of another NFC team? What uniform would hurt the most?
Oh, that to me is the Lions.
Ooh, okay. Okay.
It just like the way I'm thinking about this, with the way you phrase that question, is that getting Dan Campbell, like this really tough-nosed physical guy, to unlock that part of Quay Walker. Mm,
yeah.
I still believe. I will pound the table. I know how frustrating it was with his time in Green Bay. When he was playing his best ball, it was awesome. And you started to see it more and more consistently. I'm really – as a fan, like, proud of him, which is weird to say, but the way he matured emotionally and mentally over his NFL career, like, that ejection in the playoffs was really tough. Was it playoffs or end of the season?
Yeah, the last game, wasn't it, against the Lions? Yeah, I remember it, yep.
A really tough look. You can tell he's devastated because he felt like he let the team down. Like, seeing him grow from that and become a more consistent player, I honestly thought, like, he really was kind of what he was supposed to be, but the idea of him going to a Dan Campbell defense, like, getting that, being that, like, enforcer in the middle of it and, like, turning the Lions back around, that would really stink.
And anything you're looking forward to, whether it's a big move or a move, probably, I still don't think it's going to happen today. I think we're a couple days away. But is there a specific player or position that you are, like, is it that D-line that we talked about? Is it potentially offensive line? Could it be in the defensive secondary? Or do they just go, like, whoever they like on their free agency big board, and regardless of position?
It's going to be Wednesday, once the, like, league year officially starts. It's going to be when the Vikings cut all those guys they're holding hostage right now for trade pieces, and it's going to be Javon Hargrave.
Okay. Yeah, we talked about him earlier today, and we both are on board with supporting that proposition.
Listen, for a guy that's quote-unquote undersized for a nose, he is so damn physical at the point of attack and be really disruptive. I just think he checks so many boxes for what I'm looking for in my hypothetical strategy of sign a journeyman vet and get a rookie to back him up. Hardware is like the dream scenario for me, so I am keeping a close eye on that. But that's going to be their free agent strategy regardless, is waiting for all these guys to get cut at the league year.
And that makes sense. How much of that – and defensively in general, do you think is factored in, like, trying to match up, whether it's guys Gannon has a relationship with, you know, from Philly or from Arizona, or guys who fit his scheme specifically? How important is it that they focus on that, on the defensive side of the ball?
When you're building a team, you don't want to make it everything, but certainly you want to work with the coaching staff to get players they like, to make it a little easier. Now, I think you got to get players you like, the coach like, but you also like, because you never know how long the coach is going to be there. Especially in Green Bay, it's either the defensive coordinator goes so horribly they get fired, or they do so well they get hired to be a head coach. So you can never plan that to be the only reason, but it should certainly play some kind of factor.
All right. Tyler Brook, you can follow him at Tyler D. Brook. That's Brook with an E on all the socials. Also, best available on YouTube. Tyler, thank you so much for jumping on with us. We had an absolute blast. I know you just said you got off doing an hour or two. Our good friend Justice Mosqueda was on that as well. Yep. So check that. That's at Best Available on YouTube, I assume.
Yeah, check that out. We were just ranting and raving. I made a rookie mistake and did not bring water with me onto the live stream, so my voice is hurting a little bit right now.
I was going to say, couldn't you just tell Justice to, like, go on a 45-second rant and you walk over and go get your Stanley Cup?
Every time we hopped on, a new Packers-related move happened, whether it was Eric Stokes getting a deal or ending Vari, so you kept having to hop off. I can't hold him to that. We never know. Assuming we did that, that was probably going to be when, you know, one of these big signings happens. So
that's how it works. That's always how it goes down.
100%.
Well, keep your eyes and ears peeled. It's still going on. Like you said, Mike Evans, they're throwing around that $27 million per year number. I can't imagine he's got that much left, though.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
It blows me away. It doesn't seem like he's gonna go back to Tampa, but it's too much money for him, man. I know he's a winning player. That's insane.
Yeah, I would take that money. You know, no big deal.
Same.
Yeah. All right, Tyler, thank you so much for jumping on. We'll definitely catch up with you closer to the draft and get all the updates then as well.
All right, appreciate you guys. Thank you.
You bet, Tyler Brook. Best Available on YouTube does great, great work there. He joined us on the guest hotline powered by Gruber Law. One call, that's all.
Nice.
I assume everybody said it with me in their cars or watching on YouTube or wherever.
Someone did.
So you think one person did?
One person.
If one person did, I feel like I have fulfilled my destiny.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, I agree.
Yep. We're going to keep our eye, of course, again on free agency as we've been doing all day. But we do want to talk some college hoops. UW Green Bay season essentially comes to an end. The Badgers with a big win without Nolan Winter and Purdue. Marquette upsets number 4 UConn. Danny Hurley loses his brain. That was awesome. The Packers with the big trade with Zaire Franklin and signing Sean Ryan. Dusty Evely, film guru, great friend of our show.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to jump on with Sparky this afternoon on Wisconsin Sports Daily. So make sure to listen to that 2 to 5 this afternoon on the Wisconsin Sports Radio Network. You are listening to The Mason Crosby Show, presented by Verizon.
Life can feel overwhelming, but on my podcast, From the Heart with Rachel Brayton, we're in it together. Every Friday brings you a new story. Listen to From the Heart with Rachel Brayton wherever you get your podcasts.